appreciate our musicians and worship leaders. They do a great job for us every week. Give them a hand. You've noticed the Christmas decorations, too, around the building. I had four ladies this last week come and decorate the building, so thank you very much to those ladies as well. Christmas, yeah, go ahead and give them a hand. You know, Christmas can be a very stressful time for us in our own lives. Sometimes it can be a stress in one's marriage. Apparently, the stress had mounted in this one couple's marriage beyond the breaking point. They had stayed the night in a motel, and the husband, the next morning, called the desk downstairs. The clerk answered the phone and said, "May I help you?" The man said, "Yes, I am in room 858. You need to send someone to my room immediately. I am having an argument with my wife, and she says she's going to jump out the window." And there was a long pause on the other end of the line. The clerk said, "Sir, I'm sorry, but that's a personal issue." The man answered, "Listen, I can't get the window open, and that is a maintenance issue." I hope you don't experience that kind of stress over Christmas. Speaking of Christmas, have you noticed my shirt? Do you like my shirt? It's a shirt that we're going to make available to you. As the Christmas season is upon us, we thought this would be a good gift that you could give to those members of your family. I had somebody mention this to me just a few weeks ago, saying, "We need a shirt that has Reinhardt's name on it." And, of course, we wanted to promote more than just Reinhardt. We wanted to promote Jesus. And I felt like this shirt, and it wasn't really my idea, it was suggested to me, I thought this design really would promote Jesus well. The message, he must increase, we must decrease. And it has the shirt, the church's name on the shirt. If you would like to get in on this Christmas gift for those loved ones of yours, really, we're kind of in a rush. We have this Sunday and next Sunday that we are going to let you order shirts. There's a, back at the Welcome Center, there's a paper there that you can put your order there. And the place that is producing these shirts needs that order by December 12th. That's why the order is kind of in a rush. And then you will have that by Christmas, we are told. So I encourage you to consider that. You can order any size for kids or for adults. And it's just, I think, will be a good thing. I hope you're going to come out tonight. We've got the Dirks family, raise your hand, are going to sing for us tonight, a Christmas concert. And Jennifer Dalton, where is Jennifer? Jennifer's here somewhere this morning, I saw her. And she's going to tell her story. In fact, this morning in Sunday school, I think it was Lee Haynes said, "I just love hearing people's story. I love hearing their testimony." And this is an opportunity for you to hear Jennifer's testimony. And it is going to point you towards Jesus. So please come back tonight at 6 o'clock. It's going to be a great time together. I am starting a Christmas series today, and that series will go through the entire month of December. Each week, we will look at a character or characters who help make up the Christmas story. Today, we are looking at Mary and Joseph. Next week, Elijah is preaching, and he will be looking at the shepherds. The week after that will be the wise men. Christmas Sunday, I bet you can guess who we will be speaking about. We will be speaking about Jesus, the baby Jesus who came here to be our Savior. And then the last Sunday of the month, we'll look at two people who were able to see Jesus on day number 8 after his birth. They saw him in the temple. Mary and Joseph had brought him there to dedicate him and to circumcise him. And these two people were there, and they were moved by the Holy Spirit to speak some very interesting words about this little baby. You remember who those two people would be? Anna and Simeon, okay? Those are the two that we will speak about at the tail end of December. And hopefully, each week, as we look at these characters that make up the Christmas story, we will learn from them. Today, Mary and Joseph. First of all, I want us to look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. Oh my, what a shock it must have been for her to have Gabriel stand before her. To this point, Mary was just a common, ordinary young girl. Mark Moore, in his commentary, says probably she was about 15 years old at this time. Already she is engaged to Joseph, but they had not been intimate with one another yet. She is still a virgin, and the Bible makes that very clear to us. Getting married was definitely on Mary's mind. I'm thinking probably every day she is thinking about when that day will come that she and Joseph will be married to one another. But having a baby was not on her mind. You can understand why she was filled with fear as the angel stood before her. It's not every day that an angel of God comes to visit us. I was thinking, have I ever had an angel come to visit? I live with an angel. But to have a heavenly angel come and visit me, I don't know. There was one time that I wondered if an angel had come to visit me. And it was a long time ago. It was 30 years ago. Cindy and I were attending a church conference in Phoenix, Arizona. And this was long enough ago that I didn't own a credit card at the time. This event actually prompted me to get a credit card because of what I experienced. I had called the motel that we were to stay at ahead of time and found out to the very penny what it was going to cost for the number of nights that we were there at that motel. And so they calculated the cost, told me over the phone. I had the church treasurer write a check to the motel for that exact amount of money that would cover the cost of our lodging for the week. So there I am at the motel desk, and I give them my name, and they're expecting me, and they want the payment up front, and I give them the check, and that's when things started going downhill. They said, "We don't take checks." And you can know that I haven't at that point done a whole lot of traveling, because I probably should have known that, but I didn't know that. I had talked to him over the phone and thought I had it all settled in my mind how this was going to work, and I had given them the check, and they are denying the check. And I'm saying to them, "I'm here for a week and I don't have the cash to cover the cost of the motel and then have money to eat. You've got to take this check." And I mean, they had their heels dug in. Their policy was set, and they were not going to bend their policy for anybody. And I said, "I'm a preacher. You can trust me." And that didn't work. They just shook their head no, and they were not going to change their policy for me. I said, "I want to talk to the manager." And so the lady went to get the manager, and here comes the manager, and she's shaking her head no before she even gets to me. She already has her mind made up. And I plead my case to her, and it's not making any dent in her thinking or in her policy. And as I'm making my case, there's a fella standing nearby listening. And he just kind of bends over and says, "How much do you need?" And at first I thought he was being nosy. But then I realized that he was truly interested, and I showed him the amount. I had the paper in my hand. It was just under $200, which, you remember, 30 years ago, that was a lot more money than it is today. It was more money than what I had in my pocket. And this fellow, who I had no idea who he was, he pulls out his wallet and he gives me two $100 bills. And I said to him, "Are you an angel?" I really asked him that. I got his name and address and promised to send him a check when I got home. I was curious to see if the check would be cashed, thinking he might have been really an angel. Well, if he was an angel, he cashed my check. You remember the words of Gabriel to Mary? His first words to her. As he suddenly appears before her, he says, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." Boy, that's good news for us today, that he is with us. Never leaves us. He never abandons us. He is with us, just as he was with Mary. But this is a special greeting. The Lord is with you. And then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." You know, I think that's a message that we need to hear too. Do not be afraid. I was reading from Rick Warren. He says in the scripture that particular word from God, "Do not be afraid," is listed 365 times in scripture, either by saying "do not be afraid" or "do not fear," "fear not." Just the message "do not be afraid" is 365 times in scripture, one for every day of the year. And certainly it is a message that God wants us to grab a hold of, that we should not be afraid when the finances are tight. "Do not be afraid" is his message to us. When the future is uncertain, do not be afraid. When the job is folding, do not be afraid. When the doctor report is pending, do not be afraid. When our age seems to be catching up with us, do not be afraid. When the cost of college continues to escalate, do not be afraid. And for Mary, as he stands before her, he says to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." He doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants us instead to have his peace and his comfort and his rest. Let me read to you the rest of this conversation between Mary and the angel Gabriel, Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 31. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall name him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy child will be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative is Elizabeth also has conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. What a predicament this put Mary in. I mean, think with me. First, it was a predicament with Joseph, her fiancé. How was she going to explain to him that she had not been with another man? It put her in a predicament with her family because this was going to bring shame to her family. It put her in a predicament with the Jewish elders because according to the Old Testament law, she really deserved to be stoned for this. Therefore, the angel's message was very applicable to Mary. He's saying, in spite of the predicament, in spite of all the struggle that this is going to bring up on you, do not be afraid, Mary, because he's got you in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. And Mary, he's got you in his hands. And that's a message that we need to grab hold of. He has us in his hands. And whatever situation it is that we are in, he has us in his hands, and he is in control, and he is bigger, and he is stronger. The question is, will we submit to that message to not fear? Will we give our worries to him and our fears? Will we trust him? Certainly Mary trusted him. Her final answer, did you note that from the scripture that I read? Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. Wow. You know what she was saying there? She's saying this, whatever you say, God, whatever you want, that's what I want. I'm sure it wasn't an easy road for Mary, but she submitted herself to God's plan. She entrusted herself to him, and forever Mary will be respected and honored and revered. Could I encourage you to submit yourself to God's plan? Whatever his plan is for your life, that you would say, Lord, your way, not my way. Just view yourself simply as a bondservant of the Lord. The word bondservant is the lowest term in the scale of servitude, according to Vine's Expository Dictionary of Greek Words. It means to give oneself up wholly for another's will. In other words, it's not what I want. It's what you want, dear God. And Mary, that was her attitude. I mean, this was a tough assignment for her. More than what she could imagine that it would be. And yet, in her youth and in her innocence, she says, God, your way, not my way. I just want to be a bondservant of yours. I want to do your will completely. She was indeed an amazing woman of faith. And that is why God chose her to be the mother of his dear son, Jesus. Let's look at Joseph, for he too was amazing. As you might expect, he needed a little help in being convinced that this was all from the Lord, and who could blame him? Can't you just hear that conversation between he and Mary as Mary says, I promise you, Joseph, I promise you, I have not ever been with another man. Then how do you explain your pregnancy, Mary? The baby is from the Holy Spirit. The angel came to me and told me that the Spirit would come and do this. Mary, what have you been drinking? I mean, it would have been tough for Joseph to buy into that story. It was so crazy and unbelievable sounding. Matthew's account says that Joseph was going to put her away privately or secretly. He was going to divorce her, but he didn't want her to be stoned to death. And that's when God intervened. He sent an angel to Joseph too. And that angel confirmed to him that Mary's story was true. Indeed, this child was from God. Let me read to you from Matthew's account, chapter 1, verses 20 through 25. But when he had considered this, what is it that he's considering? He's considering putting her away secretly. He's considering divorcing her. When he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, the verse that I really want to point out to you is verse 24. It says, speaking of Joseph, he did as the angel commanded. In other words, he entrusted himself to the Lord. I want you to watch this video clip.
Fall, and we're just, it'll be an exercise in building trust between one another. So Harrison, if you don't mind going first, step up here on this chair and close your eyes. All right, and then everybody fill in, and we're going to ask you to fall, and then they will catch you. So you have to trust us. So I'm going to count to three, just relax and fall, okay? One, two, three. No, wait, no, no!
Unlike this fellow, Joseph fell backwards into the hands of God. He entrusted himself to God. He did what God told him to do. Four different times in these first two chapters of Matthew, you see this to be true in Joseph's life. He, here in this passage that we just read, he's to take Mary as his wife. And he does. He does exactly what the angel told him to do. And then in chapter 2, you remember Herod's soldiers are coming to storm Bethlehem and slaughter the babies. And an angel appears to him a second time in a dream and says to him, get out of Bethlehem. Now, Joseph, take Mary and the baby and flee to Egypt. And do you know what the scripture says? Verse 14, it says, so Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. I mean, he didn't even wait for daylight. He left immediately, and because he obeyed God, the baby Jesus was saved from the sword of Herod. The next time he obeyed God was when he was in Egypt, and an angel appears to him and tells him that Herod was dead, for him to go back to Israel. Let me read to you verses 20 and 21 of Matthew chapter 2. Get up, take the child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. You see again, he didn't waste any time in doing what he had been told. He got up, he did what the angel told him to do. You know what? Things just seemed to go better for Joseph and his family because he was just, it was his way of doing things. He just obeyed God. When God told him to do something, he did it. Didn't waste time. He didn't debate. He didn't question. He didn't have to even understand it. He just, God said, do it. So he did it with urgency. One more time. Before we get out of Matthew chapter 2, let me read to you verses 22 and 23. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then, after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee and came and lived in a city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Could I say something to the men for a second? I fully believe if we would have this kind of listening ear to God's voice, it would go so much better for us and our families than what it sometimes goes. You hear that, fellas? If you would bend your ear towards the voice of the Lord and listen to him and obey his voice, it would go so much better for you and your family. And we need to strive for that. Guys, we need to strive for that, to be that kind of leader in our home, that we would hear the voice of the Lord, that we would be bending our ear, wanting to hear his voice. And when we hear it, that we would do it. God has a good plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans that would prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." His plans are good for us. We need to be willing to obey his plans in his time, not in our time. You notice that from Joseph. It was in his time, God's time. Get up, get out of Bethlehem. And he obeyed. Go back to Israel. He obeyed. The first one, take Mary as your wife. He obeyed. Go to Nazareth. He obeyed. And it was good. God knew what he was doing when he chose these two to raise his son. And so this Christmas season, as you see those nativity scenes, whether they're in your home or as you're driving and you see a nativity in somebody's yard, or you see the nativity right here in the church building, think about these two individuals. First of all, think about Mary. That she was a bondservant to the Lord. She submitted herself to God's plan. And that's how we need to be. We need to be his servant, submitting ourselves to his plan. And then as we see Joseph in that nativity scene, let's remember that Joseph had a listening ear to the voice of the Lord. And he was so willing to submit to God's plan in his time rather than in his own time. And if we could become that kind of person in our own heart, it would be good. Let's pray together. Thank you for Joseph. Thank you for Mary, dear Father. Just ordinary people. Just common folks like us. You chose to use them in a special way. And they were willing. So, Lord, help us. Help us to see your plan for our life. Help us to be willing to obey. To be your servant. Thank you that you would use people like us. in Jesus' name.